process and why. Francis Schaeffer said, in a post-Christian world and in often a post-Christian church, it is imperative to point out with love where apostasy lies. We must call apostasy by its proper name. This is apostasy. Ephesians tells us that we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are to expose these things. And we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices, we're told in 2 Corinthians 2:11. The diaprox, briefly, is the repeated practice or praxis of the Hegelian dialectic, which is where the dia comes from, in order to achieve gradual, incremental, or continual change, which is also known as innovation. Hegelian dialectic broken down is thesis plus antithesis leading to synthesis. When the process is repeated, the synthesis becomes the new thesis, and we continue to move on. Diaprox is a diverse group of people, believers and unbelievers in church growth churches, thesis and antithesis, gathered together repeatedly over a social issue such as a seeker-sensitive church service, Bible studies, or small groups. The facilitated meetings, the facilitator is a change agent or group leader, and the goal is to achieve consensus, which is the predetermined outcome. Peter F. Drucker, who is one of the architects of this process, states that open discussion uncovers what the objections or the antitheses are. With genuine participation, a decision doesn't need to be sold. Suggestions can be incorporated, objections addressed, and the decision itself, or consensus, becomes a commitment to action. So your action is based on consensus. Dissent is a necessary ingredient for innovation or change technology and commitment, which is consensus. Without the dissent or the antithesis present, you cannot enter into the dialectic process. It's called common faith. When we all look at this Word of God and we all agree to yield to it in every way, then we have common faith and there's no antithesis present. With common faith, you then can't move people away from the rock, the Word of God. And so you have to bring in the unbeliever so that you have antithesis present. So then you can manipulate the believer and move them away from their solid foundation. With each cycle of this change process, the believer then is ever moved ever so slightly away from his or her original position of moral absolutism in order to continue to get along with the group, which is all about human relationship. Relationship is king. Truth is sacrificed. Conflict, chaos, or tension is a necessary ingredient. The group becomes willing to compromise and achieve consensus in order to resolve the conflict because the conflict is uncomfortable. How do you get out of this discomfort zone? You just agree to go along with the flow and everybody feels better. Building Church of Small Groups out of Willow Creek, Bill Hybels Church, says allow the group to live in the intention of unresolved conflict. Okay? So in other words, we as Christians are supposed to actually artificially create this tension. But God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. This is not from God. This is interesting literature. This is satanic literature from Alice Bailey and Jwal Kool, which is her spirit guide. Unity becomes possible and the point of balance through the attainment of a point of tension. So Satan knows that you have to have this chaos present in order to move on. Same book again. The point of navigating conflict is to restore relationships we value. We want to reach consensus and move forward. Sometimes that may mean agreeing to disagree or deciding to overlook an offense for the sake of the relationship. In other words, relationship is king. Truth must be compromised. Purpose-driven life says nod that you understand even when you don't agree. That's called lying. Peer pressure or belonging is the force that's utilized by the agents of social change to achieve their purposes. Consensus equals compromise, and I would say that to repeatedly practice consensus building is to learn the habit of compromise. Well, J. Kevner Kahn, I'm not sure who this person is, but this person said, it's better we disagree than be in agreement and all be wrong. Well, the Hegelian dialectic, the dictionary philosophy, says that it's developmental and evolutionary in character, and its endpoint is complete perfection. Okay, this is a godless process. It believes it is evolution of thought. We're going to a higher plane. On the smaller scale, this leads to group harmony. On the larger scale, it leads to religious harmony and world harmony, harmony among the nations. Some groups believe that praxis can be used for world peace, as this International Correspondence League believes. What is the church growth movement then? This is my definition. I have it in three parts. We'll present it today. The utilization of modern marketing techniques by the church in order to draw and hold large numbers of people by meeting their felt needs. The church then, quote, converts them and disciples them, supposedly, through the use of modern organizational management or total quality management style techniques so that they can effect change in their community and the world. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. When you see the complexity of these organizational structures and small group facilitated meetings, when you see all of that complexity, you have to know it's not from God, because the gospel is simple. This is my word, yield to it. Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, said, go and sin no more. Okay? It wasn't a whole complex thing where he got her into an accountability group and had her confess her sins to the group, you know, and then the group gave her confession. That's not the simplicity of the gospel. Well, we're not to be conformed to the world, okay? We're not supposed to use organizational management or total quality management style techniques which came out of the world for our churches. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our transformation is transforming of the mind through the power of the Holy Spirit, not transformational Marxists who are transforming your mind by group pressure and peer pressure techniques. Rick Warren founded Saddleback Community Church as a cue ball church. In other words, the church that the main church that hits all the other balls and scatters them across the country. The cue ball church, the other one is Willow Creek in Illinois. He's a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. He authored Purpose Driven Church and Purpose Driven Life. He trained over 300,000 pastors and leaders in his church growth principles. He has a doctorate from Fuller Theological Seminary. Rick Warren says that pastors are probably the most underrated groups of change agents today. The change agents are facilitators. He's using the change agent technology in his church. Well, the Change Agents Handbook says that this change technology is deceptive. It says at any point in time, the management team only needs to know enough to take the next steps towards achieving its goals. We're not going to tell you the long-range goal of this program. We're just going to teach you the next step, and you're just going to take the next step. That's the abortion debate. That's what they did to the Supreme Court justices when they said, we just want this in the first couple weeks of life. They didn't tell them their long-range goal was infanticide. If they would have told them that, they would have ruled differently in Roe v. Wade. Similarly, they're not telling you where the church is going with this. Proverbs 24:21, my son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin of them both. Purpose-driven church, growth without compromising your message and mission. Sounds great, right? Growth without compromise. Your message, not Christ's message. It does compromise Christ's message and mission. Church growth is known as seeker sensitivity, user friendliness, purpose-driven, mission-driven, cell churches, meta-churches, disciple-making churches, or the church of the 21st century. They keep changing the names to protect the guilty. Christianity Today says Rick Warren is just a regular guy who might be America's most influential pastor. I agree he's a guy. I don't agree he's a pastor from God. He's made it onto the New York Times bestseller list with Purpose-Driven Life. Interestingly, the New Ager, Anthony Robbins, years ago, in year 2000, was talking about how to create a purpose-driven life. Same terminology. By the way, it's trademarked. Rick Warren owns the trademark. Purpose-driven life. He says that hope comes from having a purpose. Now, all you have to do in his book is just change the word purpose for God. Okay? Hope comes from having God. Okay, forget your purpose. Your purpose. No, God becomes the standard you use to evaluate which activities are essential and which are not. Okay, he's replaced God. Purpose has become his God. He says the greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. No, the greatest tragedy is life without God. He wants you to enjoy life, not just endure it. The reason you are able to enjoy pleasure is that God made you in his image. This certainly feels good and sounds good, and everybody wants to hear that. He doesn't want to tell you things like, yes, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but that's what the Word of God says. It's not about us having pleasure in life. We'll have pleasure in heaven, so there's time for that, but it's not here. It's endorsed by Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Bruce Wilkinson, Max Lucado. And another warning, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Rick Warren definitely is a false prophet. Well, it's just basically a rehashing of Total Life Management, this book by Bob Shank. And he just Christianized it a little bit, and it's got your purpose in your finding your purpose and making your purpose statement in your life and your mission statement, and it's just total quality management for your life. It just has Christian terminology on it. He says that Tom Patterson was one of the three strongest supports, along with Peter Drucker and Bob Buford, of our purpose-driven church strategy in the formative years of Saddleback Church. We're going to talk in depth about Peter Drucker and Bob Buford, who are his foundation. But remember, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Rick admits his church is not built on Jesus Christ. It's built on Peter Drucker and Bob Buford and Tom Patterson.
One of the things I love about Peter Drucker is that he helps those of us in nonprofit ministries to figure out what is the purpose. He emphasizes, why are you here? If you don't know why you're there, then you have no reason to exist.
Well, Peter Drucker is born in Vienna, Austria in 1909. He graduated school at Claremont University in Southern California. He shaped and directed the Leadership Network since its inception. He's a previous professor at New York University. And when he told Forbes magazine that the social universe has no natural laws as the physical sciences do, it is thus subject to continuous change. This means that assumptions which were valid yesterday can become invalid and indeed totally misleading in no time at all. So if you believe in moral absolutes and the Word of God, that actually might be misleading in no time at all because absolutes change. This is what Rick Warren based his church on, somebody that does not believe in moral absolutes. Interestingly enough, his statement sounds very much like this statement. In the eyes of dialectical philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. That's Karl Marx. Well, Ken Blanchard, who does conferences with Rick Warren, he says, "After studying both the theory and practice of leadership for more than 35 years, I have found that Jesus is the greatest leadership model of all time." Theory and practice, Marxist terms. So, the first part of the definition, the utilization of modern marketing or merchandising techniques by the church in order to draw and hold large numbers of people by meeting their felt needs. Peter Drucker says business exists to meet human needs. So when he applies it to the church, now the church exists to meet human needs. Pastors who believe this, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, they all got this from Robert Schuller. Schuller calls them students who outran their teacher. So they've taken it further than he did. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing or no big surprise if his ministers are transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. This should not be surprising that people are claiming to be Christian ministers who are actually ministers of Satan. All three of these guys built their churches on surveys of the community, determining the felt needs, and then tailoring their churches to meet those needs. In Purpose Driven Church, Rick Warren said that he didn't bother asking the other three questions on the survey because I didn't want to color the survey with believers' opinions. So if they were actively attending a church or if they expressed that they already were believers, he threw away their survey. He wanted to make a church palatable to unbelievers, unregenerate people who have no want of God whatsoever. What do you want from a church? Obviously, I want something that's going to make me feel good and give me touchy-feely and a good time. So that's what he gave them. Drucker says, "All great change in business has come from outside the firm, not from inside." So when you go to change your church, you got to go to the unbelievers in order to change your church, because the believers are going to stand on the rock of faith. You have to bring them in to move them.
We minister to every kind of need, social need, spiritual need, economic need, material needs. We believe that if there's a need, that God meant for the church to meet that need. The people do not exist for the church. The church exists for the community.
He's got absolutely no scripture whatsoever to back that up. Although, Paul said that I don't speak in respect of want. I've learned whatsoever state I am, I'm therewith to be content. That's what we learn as Christians. We don't learn that, you're missing this, you're missing that, we've got to help this, we've got to help that. No, that's socialism. That's not Christianity. Christianity says God's going to provide our needs, not our greeds. He'll take care of your absolute needs, but not your greeds.